Well, good morning. Welcome to the Edge Community Church. Hey, I want to thank each one of you for coming today, and especially I want to thank all of you that helped in any way to make this possible for us to be in this new facility this morning. I mean, this is just awesome. Robin and I, we are so grateful to each one of you that have prayed, that have given your financial support, all of you that came out Saturday after Saturday after Saturday after Saturday and worked. You gave countless hours. I want to thank our first impression team. I want to thank all of our hosts and hostesses, our ushers, our parking lot attendants, those that are over there in the children's areas. I want to thank the audiovisual people, all the volunteers again who came out every Saturday, and especially all of you that came out yesterday. And then I want to thank our ministry team. I want to thank Patrick and Jenny Irington, Cindy McDonald, Josh and Candace Forrester, Lewis and Crystal Adams, Jeff and Mandy Presley, John and Talison Jett. Let's give everybody a great big hand clap this morning. You know, it's quite a story how all this came to pass, and I'm not going to tell it all this morning, but I do want to say that we looked at this building for the first time over 15 months ago. And when Robin and I first looked at it, another church had been looking at it, and in fact, they already had their sign put up out front. I mean, there was this great big sign with their ministry name, and I don't remember what the name of the particular church was, but I mean, they were already looking at it, but through a number of events that I believe were God ordained and God directed, we were able to secure this property, and the rest, as they say, is history. You know, it's been a long journey getting here, but over the next few months and the next few years, because we're not going to have to go anywhere really quick, I think it's going to become apparent that when there's unity, when there's faith, when there's persistence, and when there's hard work, great things can happen. And so I want to thank you again for sharing this wonderful day with us. Thanks so much for coming. We are so glad that you're here. Now, I've been teaching a series called Get in the Game, and what we're doing is using a sports analogy to convey a spiritual truth. You know, Jesus did this all the time. He taught in parables. And a parable is a story or some kind of natural example used to convey a spiritual event, and that's exactly what I'm doing here, because when it comes to life, when it comes to your life, when it comes to my life, we don't want to just sit at home watching on the television. We don't want to be in the stands. In fact, we don't even want to sit on the sidelines. When it comes to having life, we want to run out and be playing on the field. Can you agree with me this morning? We want to get in the game. So let me just say right here, though, if you don't consider yourself a church person, or maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian, first of all, we're really glad that you came. And I think you came on a really good day, because today you kind of get a pass. You see, you don't have to, you can listen to this, but you don't really have to apply it, but you can take this and use it as leverage to some of your Christian friends to see if they're living this principle the way that they're supposed to. But it's also my prayer for you, that if you came this morning and maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian, it's my prayer that something will be said, something will be done today that will cause a search to begin to happen in your heart. And you'll want to come again and again and again and again and again. I want to start this morning by reading a passage of Scripture from the book of 1 Timothy. Now, the author of this book, or really letter, is Paul the Apostle, and he was writing a letter to a very young pastor by the name of Timothy. Timothy's church was located right in the heart of Ephesus, and Ephesus is no longer a city, but you can visit the ruins. But at that time, Ephesus was one of the largest cities in the Middle East, and it was very famous for the Temple of Diana, which was considered one of the wonders of the ancient world. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, "I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This, the household of God, is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth." Now, in real simple English, Paul is saying, Timothy, I'm going to write you and tell you how people ought to act in church and what their attitude needs to be toward church. Now, if you've been in church very long, you have probably heard a lot of preaching about how people should act in church. In fact, that may be the reason that you stopped going to church, because all you heard about was how people should act. Because most of it is do this and do this, or don't do this and don't do that, and there's been a lot of rules. As a pastor, I talk to a lot of people about their church experience, and unfortunately, over the years, I have heard over and over again that in going to church, instead of it being a time of celebration where people went because they wanted to, so many people attend because they have to, or because they feel like it's an obligation, or they're fearful, or really going to church is just something that they dread. Now, I was raised in church. My mother took me to church every single Sunday, but when I was just a young guy, I kind of had a love-hate relationship with Sunday. Now, I love Sunday, first of all, because I didn't have to go to school. How many of you could relate to that? But and I could also watch the NFL game, so I really liked that. But I hated Sunday because on Sunday, there were certain things that you couldn't do. Now, you could do this on Saturday, and you could do it any other day of the week, but on Sunday, you just couldn't do it. You know, you couldn't wash a car. You couldn't cut grass. You couldn't play real hard. Why? Because it's Sunday. But the worst thing of all was, before I was able to watch the NFL games, I had to go to church. And I tell you, it was something that I just dreaded, and I'm not picking on anybody in the church where I used to go. I'm sure that there were plenty of people that had a totally different experience than I did, but I dreaded it. And I think part of the reason was that I just didn't understand what going to church was all about. Now, I liked seeing my friends, and as I got a little bit older, I liked checking out the girls, but other than that, it was just a terrible thing. I just never got why people should go to church. No anticipation, no joy, no celebration. I remember going to church one time with one of my friends, and we were just laughing and joking and having the best time in the back seat. But when we pulled into the parking lot, I remember his mother turning around and said, "Now, boys, knock it off. We're at church." And boy, I remember us getting out of the car, you know, and I watched everybody, and they were kind of walking in like statues, and there was no smiling, they wouldn't laugh or anything like that, and we couldn't run, we couldn't laugh because we were in church. And somebody said one time, "You have to be reverent," and we didn't have any idea what the word reverent meant. And once we got inside, nobody talked, and if they did talk, they just whispered. And then the organ started, and then the choir started singing, and nothing wrong with the choir, but I tell you, this was not even a good choir. And they had a scriptural piano player. How many of you know what a scriptural piano player is? That means the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And then the preacher started talking, you know, and it was always things that I had never heard of and things that were way over my head. And I remember going to some churches where the preacher just screamed at the top of his voice and told me that I was going to hell. And so church was not a good experience for me. In fact, church for me was kind of like going to the dentist. Now, there may be a few people that love going to the dentist, but I am not one of them. Now, my dentist, he's very gentle. He's up on all the modern techniques. But if I never had to see him again as long as I live, that would be okay with me. Well, that's the way I thought about church. And if you wanted to see me happy, if you wanted to see me celebrate, wait till I got home after church and I could get out of my uncomfortable clothes and just kick back. Hallelujah. You know, things were great then. And again, I don't say that judgmentally. I say it with a sense of loss because that's not the way that God intended things to be. Now, I consider myself a student of the Scriptures, and I really enjoy reading about different accounts in the Bible of people's trials and triumphs. And one of my favorite people in the Bible, one of my favorite characters, is King David. Many stories have been written about him. Many songs have been composed about him. He was a very colorful, a very inspirational man. But one of the things that strikes me about David and all of his writings was how when he was out in the field watching the sheep, or maybe he was running from Saul, or maybe he was on the battlefield, he always wrote about how he missed going to the house of God. In fact, Psalms 42 verse 1 says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him?" Now watch this. "Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amidst the sound of great celebration." Say celebration. Look at somebody and say celebration. Now that's an incredible picture. To David, going to church was a wonderful thing. In fact, one of the solemn vows he made after he became king was to make all the preparations necessary for his son Solomon to build a house there in Jerusalem where people could come together and they could celebrate and they could worship God. David caught the power of corporate worship. He said in another psalm that God sets up His throne among the praises of His people. Now think about that. When people are praising God, corporately, when they're worshiping God, corporately, it's like God comes and sets His throne right there in the middle of it. Another place, another psalm. It says, one of the things that praise and worship will do is it will silence our enemies. So David understood this, and so especially in the last years of his life, he prepared everything to build this magnificent structure so people could gather together and experience corporately what he had experienced privately. Listen to this, book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. It says, "But those who wait," say wait, "those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind." Now, I used to think that that word wait there meant that somebody was just kind of waiting in intercessory prayer and, you know, just kind of still before the Lord. And it does have that connotation, but when you study the word out, the word wait means to gather together. Say gather. It means to gather together with other people before the Lord. So when people gather themselves together before the Lord, that's when they can renew their strength. Now, that word gather sounds very much like something that Jesus said in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says, "Where two or three gather together," say gather, "where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." So Jesus said, when people gather together, just like you and I are gathering today, He's right there. In fact, the word church, like when Jesus said, "I will build my church," that word church there means gathering. It means people gathering together to celebrate and worship Jesus. And would you just look around today? I mean, we've got people here from every part of Greenville, from Taylor's, from Greer, from Simpsonville, from Duncan, from Traveler's Rest, from Malden, from Anderson, from Spartanburg. We've got people from Pickens here today. So don't cry because you had to drive 3 minutes. We got people that are driving all the way from Pickens to be here. You know, we got people from the north, the south, the east, the west, every size, every color, every social economic background, from newborns to people in their 80s. This is what David was talking about. This is what Jesus was talking about when people would gather together and celebrate and worship God. And I believe with all my heart that when we have services just like this, when we gather together because we want to, not just because we have to, I believe that Jesus gets excited. I mean, I think he loves it when his children come together. So much so, until he said, if you'll gather together in my name, I will be right there in the midst of you. You know, and I think it's really easy to think today that you know, what we're experiencing is maybe just the emotion of being in a new building, or maybe it's the lights, or maybe it's the sound, or whatever like that. But I think what we're sensing today, I think we're sensing the presence of Jesus. Yeah. You know, because we have gathered together in his name. And I believe he's here because he wants to do something in each one of our lives. He wants to renew our strength. He wants to encourage those that may be discouraged. He wants to say to those of us that may be on the verge of quitting, don't give up. He wants to open our blind eyes. He wants to heal our broken hearts. He wants to set us free from any kind of bondage or any kind of addiction that may be holding us captive. You know, I was thinking about something this past week. You know, when we come to church, it's like we're going to an appointment with Jesus. You know, when you go to an appointment with a doctor, you expect something to happen. When you go to an appointment with an attorney, you expect something to happen. When you go see your accountant, you have an appointment with him or her, and you're expecting something to happen. So I believe when we go to church, we are having an appointment with Jesus. And I believe that he wants to do some amazing things in our life. I believe that he wants us to begin maybe something new. Maybe a new relationship. Maybe a new lifestyle. But he also challenges us to begin again. You know, if I know anything about the Lord, I know that everybody messes up. I know that everybody falls down. I know everybody makes mistakes. But I know that he is a God of another chance. Can you say amen? It's never too late, just like the song said today, it's never too late to begin again. But you know, he also revives us when we come to church. I'm sure most of you realize that, you know, if you look around a little bit, that for the past few months, I mean, for Robin and I, our life has been pretty crazy. I mean, we have been working every single day trying to get this place ready. And the reason we've been doing it is because, well, we just wanted to keep the budget down. There wasn't any money to hire anybody else to do it, so we just had to do it ourselves. You know, and then Robin's got her freelance work. I mean, that's how we live. She's a freelancer. And so, you know, all of her clients, they want and they need her personal attention. And then here just a couple of weeks ago, we had a brand new granddaughter, Jane Ryan. You know, and she just couldn't wait to see everybody, so she came early. So, you know, we want to spend time with her, and then we've got our relationship with each other that we have to work on. And then I've got Sunday, and I don't know if you've ever considered this, but I have a major presentation to give every single Sunday morning. And it doesn't matter what's going on during the week. It doesn't matter what happens at the building, what happens at the house. Sunday's coming week after week after week after week after week. I can't stop it, and sometimes it just gets crazy. You know, just trying to do everything and be everything and keep everybody happy and maintain our personal relationship with the Lord. And listen, I'm not complaining because I know you are just as busy or even more busy than I am. But let me tell you what I found. I found over the years, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, if I can just get to church and if I can gather with God's people corporately, and especially get involved in praise and worship, something always happens in my life. I get renewed. I get revived. And God always speaks that way, always speaks to me. And I've always been that way. I've been around some of the biggest preachers in the world, and I have seen so many of them. They want to stay in the green room or stay somewhere else, you know, and they're praying, whatever, and I've got nothing against that, but they want to stay right until it's time for them to step onto the stage. But I've never been that way. No matter what church that I'm in, I want to be there for the singing. I want to be there for praise and worship, and it's my prayer that what I experience in my life during that time, you'll experience that same thing too. You know, the singing part of the service is not something that me and guys like me just set up so people that get there late could hear us speak. You know, we didn't plug something in at the beginning of the service just to fill up some extra time. I mean, the singing part of the service is there so we can experience that with God. There's great power that's released in our lives when we step into that place of honoring God with singing. You know, and I think it's a shame sometimes how that I read about people in the Old Testament and how they acted and how exuberant they were in their worship with God. And then those of us that are living now in the New Testament times, well, it's almost like we don't understand what's going on. I read something this past week that really fascinated me. This was when Solomon, David's son, was being crowned king. And at this particular time, the nation of Israel was following God. And so when this took place, the people began to rejoice, not just because Solomon was being king, but they just rejoiced because, well, they were just rejoicing in the Lord. But listen to this. This is from 1 Kings, and you might want to jot this down and go back and read it sometime yourself. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 40, it says, all the people, say all. Does all mean all? Does all mean some? It says, all the people followed Solomon into Jerusalem. Watch this. Playing flutes and shouting for joy. Well, I wonder what that sounded like. It says the celebration was so joyous and noisy in church that the earth shook with the sound. Now, that word shook in the literal Hebrew is a little bit more than shook. It literally means that the earth split open with the sound. Now, I am not saying that I want the earth to split open and swallow up this building. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the point is, these people, they understood. They understood the power of praising and worshiping God, and they did it with everything. Psalms 9, verse 1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Psalms 103, verse 1 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. You know, when you know and understand what happens when you allow yourself to praise and worship the Lord, I think you begin to look at coming to church in an entirely different light. And I know sometimes it's weird, you know, especially if you come into a church like The Edge and, you know, you're not used to anything like that. Maybe you're not used to the style of music that we have. You know, it has kind of a rock style to it, and it's really, really high energy, and there's lights, and then there's drums, and then there's electric guitars. And I know what that's like because I remember the first time that I ever attended a church like this. But I can also remember what it was like at other churches I went to. And listen, there's nothing wrong with any style of music. I mean, that's the reason we have different radio stations. People enjoy different styles of music. But my prayer for you today is that wherever you go to church, whatever style of music they have, get there for the singing. And get involved and do it with everything. You know, in fact, every part of a church service should be part of worship. I'd like the band to go ahead and make their way up now. We're gonna do another song, but as we sing this song, this is a really special song. I want to encourage you to get involved. Don't view life from the stands. Get in the game. And maybe you don't consider yourself a singer. That's okay. Let me encourage you today to do something a little bit out of your comfort zone. Maybe you've never clapped your hands in church before. Why don't you just try it today? They won't fall off. It's okay. Maybe you've never lifted your hand in church before. That's okay. I won't tell who it is, but a very famous television personality in this city. He's a weatherman. He used to go to my church, and And I remember watching him over the years lift his hands. And when he came to church, the first time he ever came, he was like this, you know, just kind of looking around. But the next week I saw him like this. You know, you see. The next week I saw him, he was kind of like that. And then over a period of time, he was able to lift his hands. So maybe you just have to start. Thank you so much for being with me today and listening to this teaching. And I want to take a minute and ask you a simple question. Can you remember a time in your life when you stopped in the course of your life and received the free gift of salvation that God has for each of us? You know, salvation is not about joining a church or shaking a preacher's hand or filling out a card or even being baptized. Salvation is accepting God's sacrifice for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that salvation is available to you right now. And all you have to do to receive it is accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And if you've never done that, would you pray with me right now and receive the forgiveness and peace that He has for you? You see, Jesus stands ready to come into your life right now, no matter where you are. And if you'd like for that to happen, would you just repeat this after me right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me and rose again from the dead. Come live in me and be the Lord of my life. I receive your forgiveness for all my sins, and I believe that I am now a child of God. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, tell somebody what you've done, and then find a good church and start growing. And be aware of this great truth, that Jesus Christ now lives in you. God bless you, and welcome to the family of God.